45, going to try to share what God's put on our hearts. I will say this, but Dennis, you'd be bothered if I take my jacket off. I would say it's just because I'm hot, but it's because I'm fat, and I can't move real good in this jacket, and I don't want to tear it up because I like the way it looks. I just don't like the way it fits. That's just the way it is. I like cheeseburgers, and I struggle with them jackets. Amen. But I will say this, I like the message, digging where Papa dug. I preached that message, amen. I tried anyways. I don't know that I did as good a job as I did Brother did, but I will say this, you better make sure you're digging in the right spot and after the right person, because I remember one time we was down in the swamp. We had been, there was a brim bed. Is anybody up here? Now, I'm out of my element. I'm still getting used to, what'd you say? Push it. Okay, I didn't want to break it because I don't want to break it. I can't afford to pay for nobody's microphone. So is anybody, any fisher people, fishermen, ladies? We got four. Do y'all know what it's like when brim go on bed? Hello? Four of us are going to know what I'm talking about. Amen. And we had been fishing one day. It was during the summer. Me and my kids had went fishing, and we cleaned it out. We caught some good. I'm getting a bump. Is it my microphone up too high? Up, is that better? Up higher. How about that? And we had come back, and we was at the parsonage. I pastored there in South Carolina. We were at the parsonage, and I got to looking around. I said, what are we going to do with all this fish? Y'all forgive me. Guts and heads. We got to find something because I can't put them in the trash can. They wasn't going to pick it up for another week. So I looked at my oldest boy. I did what daddy did. When you had something you didn't know what to do with and you didn't want to touch it, he hollered for me. So I turned and I said, hey, boy, get you a shovel and dig you a hole. He got him a shovel and he dug him a hole and he dumped the fish guts and fish heads in the hole. And if you know much about fishing, you know long as that moon is full, those brim will be on bed. And I got to thinking just a couple of days after that, I said, my soul, we can go and do it again. Amen. And but two things make me want to go fishing, and that's catching fish and not catching fish. And I was laying there and I said, I want to go. And so we went and caught some more. And we got home and we cleaned the fish all over again. I said, boy, you know the routine. He said, I said, just go bury them fish. And I was over there and I was finishing up, cleaning everything. And about that time, I smelled something. It smelled like a skunk had been dead for about 4 days. I said, what in the world? And I turned around and he had done dug where he dug 2 days ago. Be careful where you dig, amen. Make sure you're digging behind the right one and in the right place so you can find the right thing, amen. Thank God for Jesus. I'm glad today for a more sure word of prophecy. I don't have to go on anything else. I ain't got to go on feelings. I ain't got to go on, amen, I ain't got to go on anything else. I got the book I can go on. A more sure word of prophecies, amen. Thoughts will come and thoughts will go. Feelings are up and feelings down, amen. I don't want to trust nothing save for this book, hey. Hallelujah. I've been kind of battling and struggling all week trying to make, I want God, don't you? I'm not interested in performing. I'm not interested in entertaining. I'm not interested in wasting your time. I know you could be doing other things today. I'm not interested in just getting through. I want to see God do something for us. And so Genesis chapter number 45, and we'll 45. You just hold your place there. I'm gonna try to get us up to speed. I like to do character studies. I just the way everybody's got their own style. Everybody, I like what dear brother Moore, right? I like what he said. Just be yourself. I remember growing up at Gateway Baptist Church, we in Bowling Springs, South Carolina. We had lots of preachers come through. Brother Joe Arthur come through. Brother Billy Mitchell come through. A lot of men of God that are well known, and they're preaching. I didn't get saved. I was almost 20, and I got called to preach that year. And I remember watching everybody, and I said, "Man, I want to do that." And I'd try to preach just like he preached. Somebody else come, I said, "I want to do that." And I'd try to preach the way he preached. And it wasn't long before I figured out, you just may as well be you. And so I'm just going to be me this morning, and we'll see what God will do for us. But I like to do character studies, and we're going to look this morning at Joseph. Joseph, if you study much about him, you'll know he was one of the most perfect, if not the closest types of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, the one thing, let me remind you about a type, is that all types and pictures break down somewhere. And all that means is there's really only one. Amen. There's really only one. There's really only one. Amen. That we can look to. There's good examples. There's good people to follow. And there's good things in. Amen. But there's only one Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's only one darling begotten. Amen. Only begotten Son of the Living God. And that's Jesus. But I believe we can learn some things, and I'm going to try to get around to it. Four or five things they said about Joseph we ought to say about Jesus. Yeah. Amen. You remember Joseph, there's really three things we can know about Joseph. Number one was he had a destination. You remember what Joseph told his brothers he came to? They didn't, none of them like him. I'm going to try to catch my breath. This thing is keeping my lungs from expanding. Somebody said, "Why are you wearing a vest?" It's a pot holder. That's what it is. Joseph's brothers did not like him. Why? Because he was daddy's favorite. Now listen, let me just say this. With God, there is no respecter of persons. There's no favorites with the Lord. Now, I don't understand how to put all that in. I'm just saying they didn't like him, and that's why they didn't like him. And he was his favorite so much that he put a coat on him that was unlike anybody else's coat, a coat of many colors. And he came to them. They already didn't like him. And he came to his brethren one day and he said, "Hey, y'all, I done dreamed me a dream." He said, "I dreamed a dream, and we was reaping, and my sheaves, your sheaves gathered around my sheave, and they bowed and did obeisance." They said, "Man, are you crazy? You really think that one day all of us are going to gather around you? You really think that all of us are going to get around you and we're going to worship, we're going to bow before you? Man, you must be." He went and told his daddy, and his daddy rebuked him. Sure did. But there's something his daddy knew. He rebuked him, but he knew that there must be something to it, because the Bible said that he thought on, or he paid attention to, this saying. And the brethren went out, and they went to feed the sheep over in Dothan. I think that's where they ended up. And Joe, he told Joseph, he said, "You go find out how your brethren are, and you come back to me and let me know how they fare." And Joseph got out there, and he had to stop and ask directions. That's about what I have to do everywhere in Maryland now, is stop. Every time it seems like I learn where I'm at, I have to. God moves me. My wife told me this time, said, "If he moves you this time, have fun." She said, "I'm staying right where I'm at." That's what I said. He got there, and the Bible said they saw him from afar off. Before he even got to them, they began scheming on him. And they said, "We're going to kill him." And Reuben stepped in and said, "Look here, don't kill the boy." They ended up, they put him in the pit. You know the story. They put him in the pit. There's no water in the pit. The Midianites came. The Ishmaelites came. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites carried him down into Egypt. He had a destination. He told them one day that y'all are going to bow. Then he had an awful separation. Yeah. God, you imagine that. You keep reading through that story and you'll find out that the brethren, when they put him in that pit, he began to anguish. He began to cry out the pain that was. Hey, listen, how'd you like to be tossed into a pit by your brothers? And you're screaming for help, and you're screaming for mercy, and you're screaming for... And they turned their backs, and they walked away. Then they saw, you know the story, he went down, ended up in Potiphar's house, and the devil tried to get him again. But he kept his character, left his code, kept... Amen, he ran away and got put in prison for doing the right thing. Hey, listen, let me say this. You say, preacher, I'm in a bad way. Don't necessarily mean you did anything wrong. Preacher, I know such and such is in a bad way. Seem like they're all locked up. Be careful. Judging somebody else's prison doesn't necessarily mean that they did anything wrong. Everybody else's prison's always because they've been living wrong, and our prison's just a trial and test of our faith. Eh? You ever notice that? Oh, God's putting me through something. So-and-so go through something similar. Wonder what they did. And it was in that prison that Joseph met the baker and the butler. It was in that prison, when he was in that dungeon, the Bible calls it a dungeon. He was in that dungeon that he met the ones that was eventually God was going to use to bring him up to the top. Hey, listen, be careful. Despairing in your prison, it just might be in your darkest and in your most difficult days that God reveals to you, that God makes a way for you to get to the place, amen, where you're supposed to be. Don't despair necessarily in your prison time. And he met the baker, and he met the butler. 2 more years go by. He forgets about him, right? I can't remember right now which one died. One of them died, one of them got restored, the baker and the butler. One of them, anyway, the baker, he got killed. I'd have killed the butler. The baker makes donuts. That's a bad deal. 2 years go by, and finally the butler says, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot all about Joseph." He said, "I know a fella over there working in the prison. Said he can interpret dreams. He serves the God of Israel." Or he's a Hebrew. And he said, "Well, they brought Joseph up. They cleaned him up and stood him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh told him told him the dream. Jesus. Joseph interpreted the dream before Pharaoh. And he said, here's what you need to do. He said, there's going to be 7 years of a good time, 7 years of blessing. Then there's going to be 7 years of famine. Here's what you need to do. You need to hire you a governor and send him all around the land, gathering up and putting away for during the 7 years of blessings for the 7 years of famine. And he said, you need to find something. And Pharaoh looked at Joseph and said, is there anybody in Egypt wiser than thou? He said, you're the one. And he took his ring off and he stuck it on Joseph's finger. And he said, you're the one. You're over my household. There'll be nothing done in Egypt. Forgive me for paraphrasing. He said, there'll be nothing done in Egypt lest you say so. And there Joseph went from being cast aside to the pit, amen, going through all of those difficult years, about 17 years old or so when he's cast into the pit, and somewhere around 30, if I'm not mistaken, when he stands before Pharaoh, amen, 13 years of difficulty, 13 years of darkness, 13 years of hardship, but finally, God raises him all the way up to the top, to the largest known empire at the time. God is able, amen, to use your darkness to bring you to the top, to bring you to the place where he desires for you to be. He brought him. And so now, And you look and you'll find out Joseph said the same thing. He told his brethren when they find, he said, listen, you meant it for evil. God meant it for evil. He said, it wasn't you. He said, you thought it was you. He said, but it wasn't you. He said, God sent me ahead of you to save you. Hey, listen, don't be careful about judging somebody else's darkness. It might just be you'll need them when they learn what they're learning right now. Hello? I'm going to say that again. Be careful looking down on somebody for going through darkness, because it just might be that when they get through on the other side, you'll need what they learned while they was learning it. Brother Billy Seats. Anybody know Brother Billy Seats in North Carolina? I ain't heard him about 10, but he preached a message one time. What's God doing in the dark? I wasn't even planning on preaching this. I'm trying to get to my message. I just got just a few points, and we'll get him to it. Well, we're going to eat in here in just a minute. I'm taking my time, but I'm trying to. You said it wasn't pizza. I'm excited. Amen. And it's a mystery, and I'm ready to solve the mystery. Brother Billy said he preached a message on what? Did I say that funny, or is that y'all just laughing because I'm hungry? Praise God. He preached, what's God doing? And you know what God does in the dark? You know where, now not now. Now people take pictures on their phone and they email them to Walmart. You don't even have to go through the labor and the difficulty of carrying your film. And don't dare pull one of those strips out after Mama has done took some pictures of the party and you have left and the birthday party's over and you'll never get them back. And you stretch that film out and she'll kill you. Y'all don't even, half everybody ain't, but about 18 people in here knows what I'm doing. You had to have film for pictures. Amen. It was the struggle. Brother Kenny said the struggle was, it was different. You had to have a camera and a flash, and then you had to change it, and you had to, it was different. Now, my daughter's got this little box you plug into your cell phone, and you, I said, where does the ink go? She said, Daddy, you don't need no ink. What kind of printer is, it's a, what do you call it? I can't remember what you call it, but it's some kind of printer, and it ain't but that big, and you plug it, or you don't even play, it's Bluetooth. You do it, you take a picture, you click on the picture, send it to the box, wait a few minutes, open the box, and there's a picture. I said, where's the ink cartridge? She said, you dummy, you don't need ink for this. I don't get it. Used to, you'd take a picture on film, and you had to go into what kind of room? See, that thing was nothing but a, but you take it into the dark room. What took place in the dark room? It developed. Be careful looking down on somebody's darkness. Just might be that God's developing them. I mean, it's neat to hold one of those negatives up and stare at it and pull it out and say, oh, but how much better is it to get the full color, high gloss, high definition? Amen. When Mama gets one of them 8x10s and she'd much rather have that great big old picture, amen, of her family and grandbaby. Don't really care about when you have kids, you become irrelevant in the picture. And she'd much rather have than she would. Hey, listen, but the only way, a long time ago, this had been a lot more accurate, amen, analogy. The only way to get from that little ugly square into this great big 8x10 beautiful picture is to go into the dark and do some developing. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. And so Joseph's, the Bible says he's the governor. He's over. And Pharaoh even says, you're like a father in my house. In other words, he wasn't Pharaoh, but he told Pharaoh what to do. Because of Pharaoh's own submission, he said, you're like a father in my house. There's nobody more like... Okay, 7 years of goodness, 7 years of blessings. I like goodness and blessing. I like to make my plate look blessed. Amen. That's the reason I had to preach without a jacket. I refuse to go above a 48 long. It don't matter how tight it gets. If my arms is like Superman, I'm still wearing a 48 long. I don't care. I'm not moving to a 50. Somebody asked me the other day. I said, I still wear a size 38. They may not be as high as they used to be. I said, but I refuse to buy a 40. Just ain't going to do it. I'm not doing it. I may have to get suspenders made out of fire hose so they'll hold them up. But praise God, I keep getting sidetracked. My mouth's watering. I'm trying to stand back here because I'm spitting about 8 feet deep. 7 years of blessings are over. And because Pharaoh listened to God's man, when the easy days and the blessings were over, they had sustenance in the dark days. Hey, listen, young person. You can make light of it if you want to. You can make easy of it if you want to. But you ought to listen to God's man in the good days. Because there's going to come some dark days. You ask any adult, you ask anybody in here, there will be some dark days, and you can't do nothing about them. You can't evade them. You can't go around them. And only if you listen to the truth and obey the truth in the good times will you be able to stand with a clear conscience in the bad times. And they, so it got, I'm trying to preach about 10 chapters all in, and I'm trying to get us all up to the last few verses. In chapter number 42, you don't have to turn there, just listen. And when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, I'm going to preach this message one day. Why do you stand? Why do you look one upon another? What are y'all doing standing here looking at one another? We're starving to death. And you know where the corn is. Go get some. And so Joseph's brothers, they come down into Egypt, and they walk into the Pharaoh's house, or Joseph's house. There they are, and they're standing there, and Joseph knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. And he begins to manipulate them to bring them to a place. We're not going to read it all, but what he tells them, he sends them back, says, y'all are spies. I about lost my train of thought. It's not hard for me to do. He said, y'all are spies. They said, no, we're not spies. They got down and put their face. Hey, listen, if God said it, you better mark it down. It's true. They got down and they put their faces down on the ground before Joseph. And Joseph said, y'all are spies. They said, we're not spies, sir. They said, we're just here because our families are starving, and we heard there was corn in Egypt. He said, no, y'all are spies. And he told them about three or four times, said, y'all are here to see the nakedness of the land. You're here to see the devastation of this dearth, of this famine. And anyways, he ended up, he said, is your daddy alive? Why would you? He says, your daddy alive? Said, y'all got, they said, we got one more brother, and our daddy's alive. And here's what he said. He said, you take this. He filled their bags up, sent them on their way. He said, you don't come back unless you bring your younger brother. He said, if you don't bring your younger brother, don't you come back to my house. And they went home and they told Jacob, they said, Jacob, this man spake roughly to us. This man was harsh to us. This man was, and they said, we can't go back unless we take Benjamin with us. We can't go back unless we take our baby brother. And Jacob stands and he says, ain't no way you're getting my baby boy. He said, my son Joseph is dead, and Benjamin, if you take him, he'll be gone. Hey, Lynn, he said, there's no way. Hey, but listen, the corn ran out. About 3 days later, 4 days, however long it took to eat that corn, they come back to Jacob, and they said, Jacob, they said, Daddy, you got to give him to us. If we don't have, I'm trying to get somewhere, y'all. Please bear with me. Don't check out on me just yet. It's fixing to get good. They said, Daddy, we got to have him. And Reuben and Simeon, I believe it was, one of them stepped up and said, Father, he said, I will be surety for thy son. He said, upon my life, I promise you, I'll bring him back. And over turmoil and battling, and he finally, Jacob says, you take him and you go, but you bring my boy back. He said, you bring him back. And they got down to Egypt again. And they walked in, and Joseph saw his brother Benjamin. Ooh, hallelujah. And what the Bible said, that he had to find him a place. He had to go get him a place. He had to go hunt him a place. Y'all hunt for stuff up here? He had to go hunt him a place to weep. Why? Amen. Because he loved them. Well, I forgot to tell you, he put all their money back in their bag for the corn. And when they opened their bag and they saw it, they thought, oh no, we're going to die for sure. And Joseph was weeping because he was loving him, but he kept himself, he didn't reveal himself just yet. And he talked to him and he said, how's your father? He told him, said, you go home and... I can't remember exactly what, but anyway, Joseph put his silver cup in Benjamin's bag. And all the while, he's stirring, he's working. They got about halfway, and Joseph sent his men after him. He said, you overtake them. When you overtake them, he said, you go through their bags, and whichever one's got my cup in it, he's dying. And they overtook him, found Benjamin, opened his bag, and there's his cup. They brought him back to Joseph. And they said, you stole my cup. They said, sir, we don't know. Forgive me, please, for paraphrasing. I'm trying to get a lot in, trying to get to one. He said, sir, we don't know why this happened. And they got to talking among themselves. Joseph the whole time was speaking to them through an interpreter. They didn't know Joseph could understand. And they looked at one another and they said, oh my. Said, the blood of our brother, because we heard his anguish and we heard his cry. God's letting this happen to us because of what we did to our brother years ago. Hey, listen, God's got a way to work and stir in your life to get you to the place to where you get honest with what you've done and you get honest with what the truth is. Hey, listen, he began to work and it was... They came back. Joseph, I'm going to read this part. Remember I told you in the beginning, Jesus, Joseph is a type of Christ. And the Lord got a way of working in our lives. Amen. Bringing things full circle till you come face to face with what your problem is and whose fault it really is. Yeah. And stirring and stirring and all the while. But down in chapter number 45, verse number 1, here's what he said. I like it. Praise God. Y'all might not get nothing out of it, but I like it. The Bible said, then Joseph could not refrain himself. Before all them stood by, caused every man to go out from me. Verse 2, and he wept aloud. And Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, Hold on now. Come here with me in this room now. For 13 years... They'd wake up in the middle of the night and they could hear him screaming. For 13 years, every time somebody had mentioned him, there'd be something digging in the pit of their heart, in the pit of their stomach. For 13 years, their sin had been haunting them. For 13 years, every time Joseph's name was mentioned at Daddy's house, amen, they could tell the effect. And for 13 years, their sin had been haunting them. And about that time, in chapter number 45, Joseph steps out. And the Bible said he could no longer refrain himself. He's looking at their heartache. He's looking at their difficulty. He's looking at their struggles. And he finally said, I am Joseph. I might have to do that again. You remember when that happened? God working all those things. I remember when I was about 19 years old, I was a running from God. People was praying for me. I was tired of my sin. I was tired of waking up to it. I was tired of going to bed to it. I was tired of people talking about it. I was tired of going to jail for it. I was tired of my sin. And about that time, God was bringing things full circle till I got to, hey man, you know what I finally realized? It's me. It's me. It's me. And I remember going to the house of God that Friday night, amen, and somebody stepped out and he said, I am Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. See, there was a destination, then there was a horrible separation, but now, right now, we're standing in the middle of full-fledged revelation. Yeah. I'm not talking about, amen. You know what I'm saying? It's when Jesus pulled back the scales off your eyes and let you see who you are and let you see who He is. Joseph, finally, he'd been working so in their lives and just working. Finally, he steps out and said, got something for you, boys. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. And they said, oh, no, for sure. For sure our sins have come back to us. He said, don't y'all worry about a thing. It was all part of the will of God. He said, God sent me before you. It's 4:05. I got about 4 or 5 little old points. Some chicken scratch right here. Hey, amen. They went back. You're talking about a message. For 13 years they've been living and thought they had. What else could you do worse to your father than to kill his own son? For 13. Oh, but hey, they're on their way back to Jacob's house now and they got a message. They're on the way back to Jacob's house now and it's all been fixed. They're on their way back to Jacob's house now. Listen, and they said some things. I'm about preached out. And they said some things about Him that I believe we could say about the Lord. Yeah. You know what they said? Look in Genesis chapter 45 and let's pick up in verse number 22. Y'all was worried I wasn't going to read a text. It just took me 45 minutes to get to it. Let's pick up in 19. I like it. Pharaoh found out about it and he said, you don't go home with them old donkeys you rode in on. I'm sending you with wagons. Amen. Yeah, let me give it to you from Jacob's point of view. He couldn't tweet, Facebook, text, call. There wasn't even a pay phone. He didn't even have one of them crank phones. If anybody's got one, I'd like to go catfishing. They didn't even have one. I know some of you. Don't act all pious on me. I know some of y'all done crunk some catfish up out the river with them things. They didn't have it. So the entire trip, there sits Jacob waiting, worrying, and every one of his kids, every one of his boys, including Benjamin's, gone. And about that time, he's sitting there on his front porch. That's Pharaoh's wagons, loaded down with treasure and goods, amen, and blessings coming up my driveway. And they get, verse 19 said, thou art commanded to do this, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandments of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And his father, he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fallen out by the way. In verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob his father. And they told him, here's the message, and they told him, saying, Joseph is alive. You know what they said? All the way back, Now, they went out riding on them rough, I don't know, I ain't never rode no donkey, but I'd much rather sit in a wagon, I believe, and I had to sit on one of them long-faced donkeys all the way back. I don't know how far it was, but they was riding in the wagon. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And I can see. Now listen, 13 years of heartache and 13 years of difficulty. I can see him now open the wagon door, Daddy. No. They come. I don't know about you. You've seen how excited I get for a hot dog. I don't even know if that's what we're eating, but I don't know about you. But I'm kicking the door open. Daddy, you ain't never going to believe it. You ain't never going to believe it. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Bless God. I don't serve a dead, dried up, amen, weak God. I serve a living God. I got to think about that. I got to think about that. Wonder what? What have you heard people say? When I was thinking this just the other day, my grandmother lived with me. Growing up, we called her Muddy. It started with one of the older grandkids, tried to say mother, ended up mutter, and evolved into Muddy. And you say, preacher, it's dumb to call your grandmother Muddy. We might have to fight, but I'm telling you, we grew up, and she was my grandmother, and I loved her, and she passed on now, and I got to thinking just the other day, I said, man, you know what people say. Man, I sure would like to see her just one more time. You say, what does it mean that he's alive? He's alive, Daddy, and we've seen him. He's alive, Daddy, and you can see him. I'm going to tell you here today, amen. If it's all right, I blew the 4 minutes up. We're just going to try to finish. I want you to know today, he's alive and you can see him. You know what? You know what? We was listening to a CD on the way up here. Preacher Stewart's granddaughters made a CD. And they took a song, Godly Heritage. And right in the middle, they broke it out. And my preacher, Pastor Ray Stewart, there he is preaching. And he's going after it. And you could tell it's one of his messages he was a little older when he was doing it, but he was giving it everything he's got. You can see him. Now listen, I ain't talking about no 40-foot Jesus just because you ate too much Parmesan cheese on your pizza before you went to bed. One of these days I'm going to see him though. Hello? Hello? Amen. Some of you, hello? But I... And I ain't never heard him with my ear speak audibly. Somebody said it's louder than that. Amen. I was listening to that CD and I heard my preacher. I heard him go to preaching. He was halfway hacking. Bless God. I like it. It ain't the hacks that usually bother people. It's everything in between the hacks. He was a preaching the Word of God. Amen. And I heard him, and I, for just a minute, got a little emotional. Did me good to hear him again. I want you to know, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. You're going to get to see him one day. Amen. And you can hear him. Wonder what? You know what that meant to Daddy, don't you? Daddy, just want you to know he's alive. I know we thought he was dead. Like everybody else, but he's not. He's alive. I got to move on. He's alive. Number two.